From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WTVZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
Into the Nashville zone, finds Manning. Manning gives it across for Leopold. A shot! They score! Charlie Coyle was sweeping at it out front, poked away by Dumba. Niederreiter pushes forward for Minnesota. Niederreiter for Stewart, waiting, goes across. Coyle fires, score! Shooter works his way around to check, maintains the puck, got it to Dumba, 3-on-2 at center. Dumba for Parisi. Parisi back to Dumba, he scores! And the Wild win in overtime!
I love that Wild announcer, the way he does that. 22 seconds overtime, Matt Dumba scores! That's pretty damn good. 3-2 win over the Predators last night, 85 points. Tightening down, battening down that first spot, wild card spot in the Western Conference playoffs. Here's some numbers for you, young Hellboy. Third time in four games the Wild have won. They've won 8 straight road games. That is a very good sign for a team that is not going to be the home team in the early, well, throughout the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a big deal. This team is, and we figured out with 28 straight starts for Devan Dubnyk, and it's not going to stop, and it shouldn't stop. Play him until he says, and I don't think he'll ever say, I'm tired. No athlete's going to do that, but if unless he comes crawling to you and say, I need a night off, but why would he? He spent all that time sitting before he joined the Wild. Why would he want to take a break? There's
not
no reason to.
One time on the biggest stage in sports, the Super Bowl, the Rams against the Titans, Kevin Carter, who was pretty darn good defensive lineman, he came out of the game, and Dick Vermeil was yelling all kinds of nasty words at him, saying, you're coming out of the game?
How do you come out of the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl? Said he was tired.
Well, I mean, it does happen. But remember, when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, their quarterback, former Viking, Donovan McNabb, he didn't come out. He threw up on the field, but he didn't come out. He was terrible.
And he played like that pile that he left
on
the field.
Yes, he did. He certainly did. But I just think it is becoming, and last year they were a great story with how they had the comeback and what happened earlier in the year with Josh Harding and how great he played in goal. And then obviously he had a setback with his health, but then they came on at the end of the year. And this year, again, what a great story. It's one of the best stories in sports, how these guys have been able to turn it around again a second year in a row. They might as well just, maybe they should let their minor league team play for the first 44 games, and then game 45 last year, this year, it kicks in. This way they're even more rested.
They got a decent minor league team. They could do something.
At some point, imagine if they could kick it in at the start of a year and play the way they have the last 2 years in the, you know, from the 45th game on. They'd be their numbers would be phenomenal.
Getting one of those top couple
seeds.
It'd
be off the charts.
Having some more home games at the X.
Yeah, but what do you want? Home games, schmome games. They win on the road, too. 8 straight on the road.
But I don't travel with the team.
That's right. You're right. People want to be around and travel. You don't travel well.
No.
Actually, we're going to be talking in a moment to our guest is Brad Frost, and he doesn't have to travel either. He's taking the University of Minnesota women's hockey team into the Frozen Four at a place very familiar to him and his players. That would be Ritter Arena. And they start Friday night against a familiar. Brad, I would say that Wisconsin's a bit of a familiar foe for you.
I would say so. This will be the fifth time that we've played them this year, and played them 6 times last year, I believe. And we always play them at least 4 times, so it should be another great matchup here on Friday night.
And I think that the numbers, I talked to your goal. By the way, I did an interview with your goaltender, Amanda, for the Pioneer Press. Very nice young lady. She was great
to
talk to.
Yeah. No, she's a great gal and somebody that we're going to have to rely on pretty heavily here this weekend.
Well, and she had said she's 8-0-1 against Wisconsin. So she's never she's never lost to them. And, well, your team, since you beat them, I have to go back with my math here, 15, 14, in 2012 for the national title, have you lost? You haven't lost to them since then, have you?
I don't believe we have. We've definitely turned the tide on them up until this point, and so hopefully we can keep that streak going.
Well, and that's something I want to ask you about. We're talking to Brad Frost, the coach of the Gopher women's hockey team in the Frozen Four, Friday night national semifinals with Wisconsin. Does that worry you a little bit? That, I mean, the streak is so long that, a thousand things goes through coaches' minds. Do you worry about it, or do you take from it, hey, we have their number and our players, they have confidence because we've done so well against them. Is that the way you look at it?
I think that's the biggest thing, is the confidence piece. That, nobody's going into this game saying we're guaranteed to win. They're an exceptional hockey club. This is the first year in a little while that all four of the top seeds have advanced. And so really this tournament, this national championship, is completely up for grabs. Wisconsin's playing great. When we play them, they're always tight games, a couple overtime games this year. So, we're not taking anything for granted, but if nothing else, our team has, confidence in knowing that, that we can beat them, and, feel like we have a pretty good, blueprint in regards to doing that.
Do you really care how it fell in the Frozen Four, or would you have preferred facing another team in the bracket, somebody who you haven't seen and are not as familiar with, or is this just fine with you?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, you get to this point, you know you're going to be playing a real good hockey club, and generally in the national tournament, we see Wisconsin if we're there, and whether that's in the semifinals or finals, it really doesn't matter. As I mentioned, the two Eastern teams as well, Harvard and BC, have been real legit contenders all year as well, so it should be a great weekend of hockey.
And BC put a hurting on that Clarkson team that won the national title in the championship game against you.
All the quarterfinal games were really lopsided in regards to that BC game. It would be Quinnipiac 5-0, I believe, and Wisconsin beat Boston University 5-1. I was really surprised by those scores. I thought all the games would be a little tighter.
Well, Brett, what is Wisconsin's? I mean, what concerns you the most about them? Do they have a hot goaltender, or is it their ability to score? I mean, there's things I'm sure that concern you going into this.
No doubt, there's a little of everything. Quite honestly, their goaltender is right up there with Amanda Levier on our team as two of the top goalies in the whole country. Both Canadian kids, Debian is the last name of Wisconsin's goaltender. She's a bigger player, very athletic and makes some great saves. They have three lines that are all very dangerous. It seems like every night, one of their three lines is kind of the different heroes of the night. And they play extremely fast and well. They won the WCHA, final faceoff, a week and a half ago, and so they've got a lot of confidence coming in.
And important to point out that you were not in the championship game because you lost the game to a team that always gives you trouble, Bemidji.
Yeah, they've given us fits over the last number of years, and they did that again a week and a half ago for sure.
Now, talking to Brad Frost, the coach at the University of Minnesota, the women's hockey team, which, by the way, their game Friday night and their national championship game, which I'm putting you right into the finals, Brad, will be can be heard on 105theticket.com on Friday, and again the championship game on Sunday when the Gophers are in it. So that's but you're the team that you're taking into that game, is it spoken or unspoken about Clarkson and what happened last year? I mean, I'm sure that's a motivating factor for these, especially the gals that played in it last year.
Yeah, it's we really haven't talked a lot about it. It's certainly on some of our players' minds, I would imagine. But we're a different team than we were last year, and we wanted to get to this point. There's been a lot of pressure on our players to get to the the Frozen Four, especially with us hosting it. And so now that we're here, hopefully our players can play pretty free and fast, and we can get after it right away on Friday.
Now, Brad, I don't know if this ever gets to you, but do you hear through back channels about other teams having to come in and play at a site that one of the four teams happens to play at?
Yeah, we don't hear a whole lot about it. I think what's best for women's hockey, regardless of where the games are, is that they're sold out, that there's people hanging from the rafters and really putting on a good show for the fans and for the teams that are involved. And nobody hosts a championship better than the University of Minnesota. They have a lot of experience obviously in 2013 when we hosted, it was fantastic, and I know it will be great again this weekend.
Okay, and also I wanted to mention, we are going to broadcast your games, but you cannot catch it on 105theticket.com. It's not available streaming, but you can catch it on 105. We simulcast, Brad. We have three stations simulcasting at once, 105.7, 105.3, and 105.1. 105.1 is in the south of the cities, 105.3 is north, and 105.7 is right in the Twin Cities. So for people that want to listen, you're going to have to listen to the radio station. That's good, too. Nothing wrong with that.
For those who can't come as well and maybe aren't in their car or don't have a radio present, it is going to be on NCAA.com as well. We're still not on TV, which is a source of frustration for us all, but
games
can be streamed on NCAA.com for free.
And that's good to know, but the better option is 105theticket.com or 105theticket.
No,
I'm kidding.
I'm not kidding. Turning the sound down for...
Let me talk to you about that, too, about this TV thing. How do they show so much disrespect to women's hockey? They can't find a way to get it on. They have so many. Don't they have any other sub-channels or other so they can give you wrestling and your championship game? Wrestling will be over by Sunday, though, right?
Yeah, I don't even know the wrestling schedule. I just know that it's CBS owns the rights, and then when they don't want it, ESPN can pick it up, any of their channels. When they don't want it, somebody else can pick it up if they want, but they have to work with Turner Broadcasting because they do the web feed. And so I think there's a bunch of hoops to jump through. It's probably fairly expensive, but I think we're one of the only NCAA Division I programs that are sports that are not on TV.
And also, why not? Can't the Big Ten Network? Why can't they do it? They're going to be guaranteed of a Big Ten team in the championship.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, we tried a couple years ago, and
I remember
it didn't work. So my focus, quite honestly, I've kind of buried that until there's a more important time to try and figure it out, but hasn't been my focus this year. When I heard it wasn't going to be on TV, I just had to let that go and really focus on making sure that our team got here.
Well, again, though, I'll give one more shameless plug for the station. You can't watch it on TV, but you can hear it on 105 The Ticket, Friday and Sunday.
Yep.
And
yep.
Now, let me ask you, you're coming up on your fourth Frozen Four in a row. You were an assistant coach on two of the national championships teams. Do you get a little butterfly? Do you get butterflies? Do you get real nervous going into the Frozen Four, or has it almost become such an expectation for you to be there?
Well, it's there's always that expectation, which I don't think is necessarily fair, but because we certainly want to be here every single year as well. But there's obviously some anxious times, and really what it comes down to is just wanting our players to give their best effort and play as free as they can. If they do that, play for the person next to them, fulfill our values while they play and leading up to the games, there's nothing I can ask for beyond that. And so I know if our players work their butts off, we're going to be successful even if the result isn't what we want.
Well, Brad, as I've said before, I guarantee another national championship.
You always do that, and we appreciate the support.
Well, the last time I did it, you won a national title. I didn't do it last year, but I'm doing it again this year.
Well, I appreciate it, Bob.
All right. Brad, thanks so much. Brad Frost, coach of the University of Minnesota women's hockey team, going after their third national championship in four seasons. Brad, I'm not even going to say good luck. I'm just going to say go out there and kick some ass. Okay, then. He's a good guy and a good coach. He's heading over to practice. Hey, by the way, there's a lot of NCAA action going on. Wrestling starts tomorrow. Gophers have several wrestlers with a shot at winning a national title. And you have a shot to win $1 million. Head to 105theticket.com and get your picks into the $1 million bracket challenge. Don't miss your chance for $1 million or a $10,000 prize. You'll also see how you match up with ticket personalities like Hellboy over here. And I did mine. You do yours?
Yeah, I want to fix it, though.
I don't think you can. You're done, pal. The deadline is 11 a.m. tomorrow. Head now to 105theticket.com. Fill it out. Win $1 million. And take Hellboy and out for a pizza or something. We are going to take a quick break. When we return, we will chat with Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, about, you know, we'll talk about the NCAA, the brackets. We'll also talk to him about that Gopher team and if they'll ever make it back to the NCAAs. We'll be right back with Marcus Fuller.
One and done. 1 hour of basketball talk every Saturday morning at 10 with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press and Hardwood Rob.
I want to discuss the acquisition of former Michigan State star Adrian Payne.
Sort of like a Rasheed Wallace, you know, type of athlete, block shots.
I love that you brought up Rasheed Wallace. That's like the kind of player that's really going to take this core unit and sort of round it out, fill it out.
Tune in every Saturday morning at 10. One and done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And I'm putting Kentucky in here.
Kentucky obviously has as good of a chance as any team. They are prohibitive favorites and for good reason.
That's President Obama jumping on the Kentucky bandwagon. Not me. I'm on that Duke bandwagon. You can't just pick the, you know, can't pick. You go with Kentucky, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
I knew you did.
That means I get to be president someday.
Yeah, that's, I'd look forward to that.
I wouldn't.
Truth be told, I'm not. Let's answer that phone. We got Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. Marcus, are you going to be covering the women? Because there's no men to cover from the U in the tournament.
Oh, yeah. I'm covering the women. We'll be in South Bend. And, you know, 6 years since they made the NCAA tournament. And the last time they were there, they upset Notre Dame in South Bend. So there's some good karma there. But at the same time, Notre Dame is the number two team in the country. And the Gophers still have to beat DePaul in the first round. So I'm not banking on the win versus Notre Dame this time around. But it's just, you know, 6 years is a long time to go without an NCAA tournament bid.
Yeah, tell it to the Gophers in the next how many years have they gone without?
Oh, they've been in 2013.
Seems like
they
eons ago.
You know, people just don't want to forget that because obviously the Tubby
days
on the way out. But you know, they won the NCAA tournament game for the first time since '97, and you know, now they're out of the NIT. So.
Boy, is that
a quick downturn for the Gophers, but I think, you know, next year you'll see Tubby Smith versus Patino in Puerto Rico, and we'll have to settle the score there.
And you know what? Another 15, 16 years, we'll be back in the NCAA. You just watch.
You know, the women, I was surprised they didn't make it last year. They were 500 in the Big Ten. It was a really good season in the Big Ten. They had some quality wins, and they just missed it. They were right on the bubble and missed it. And this year they were comfortably in with an 8 seed. But that 8-9 game is just a terrible matchup for them. Even if they win, you know, they're facing the number one seed on their home court.
So what you're saying is they could be one and done. One win and done. Or one game and done. Much like Saturday mornings.
I hope not. It's South Bend, you know.
Jesus.
Chicago's right there. I'd like to spend at least a few days up there.
Marcus. I'm trying to lob the ball up for you to knock it out of the park. They could be one and done.
What are you speaking of? Are you speaking
much
of our
like
show that's on Saturday?
The Saturday morning show you do with Hardball Rob, one and done,
yeah,
10 to 11.
We talk probably more about women's basketball than anybody in the city here. Every week we have your boy is killing it segment, but I have a girl's killing it, and I always bring up Amanda Zowie.
She's terrific. Nice kid, too.
You know, I think with Amanda, they have a chance to beat DePaul in the first round. It's hard to match up, you know, with a player like her when you haven't really seen her before physically. But in the second game, I'm already overlooking DePaul. Is that that's a bad thing?
No problem.
I think I'm jinxing the Gophers right now.
Well, don't worry about it. They'll be fine. They are the 8 seed. They should be favored by do they even do lines on these games, the early round women's games?
But it's the 8-9 game.
I know.
I mean, I think that they, you know, Paul won the Big East this year. They have the Big East Player of the Year. You know, I think they'll be probably playing with a bigger home court advantage there, about a couple hours away from, or about an hour and a half away from Chicago. I think it's a tough first round matchup for the Gophers, but at the same time, like I said, you know, matching up with Amanda, when you haven't played, you can't simulate a player like her. You just can't.
No, but you,
I think that she'll probably have a huge game. But what we don't remember is she had that 39-point, 29-rebound game versus Iowa And, you know, they had Iowa down the stretch there. It was a close game. The second game, she had 27 points, 27 rebounds. They had to go to overtime to beat Michigan. So they need a lot more than just Amanda. And, I think if they get a little bit of support from her, from a couple other players, they'll have a chance at that.
Well, let's go back to my question, though. Do they have lines on these early games but in the women's tournament like they do with the men? Do you know?
Yeah,
I just looked and I didn't see anything.
Yeah, they should. But, you know, like I said, I think I'd be surprised if the Gophers are favored at all in this game.
Well, then that would mean they're not going to be favored. Certainly not going to be favored if they win. That's not going to happen.
This is a winning season no matter what. Don't you agree?
I mean, 23-9, yeah, that's a hell of a start.
23 wins, you know, even if they get blown out in their first NCAA tournament game in 6 years, they'll have the entire team back next year with the exception of Jay Kelly and Rachel Banham coming back. I think it's an exciting time for women's basketball. I wouldn't be surprised next year if they make the tournament and then make a run.
Well, having Rachel Banham back, that would be a lot of fun to see her and Amanda, because Amanda Zowie B., she would not have accelerated her game, I don't believe, if Rachel Banham was still with the team. But now she knows what she can do, and they certainly know what Rachel can do. They'll complement each other. I think Amanda would have taken a much more of a back seat, and justifiably so, because, I mean, Rachel was one of the best players in the country before her injury.
You think so? You think that Amanda wouldn't have had the impact?
No, not the way she has this year. She became the leader of that team, and I think she would have backed off, and it would have been Rachel's team, and I don't think she would have put anywhere near the numbers she's been putting up. Certainly not scoring.
Right. No, I think that they always needed a key. They need an inside presence on the offensive side, and I think that no matter what, I think Amanda would have had a big year. Would she have been Big Ten Player of the Year? Probably not, but I think that she was starting to emerge regardless of Adam's injury. But the leadership role that you talked about, I think, is huge. I think there's a point in the season where Stallings had to sit Amanda down and tell her that, you know, her consistent, energy and effort from game to game, she has to bring it every single game now because they don't have that, the presence that Banham brought. And, you know, regardless of whether or not Banham was playing, she still had a big role on this team.
Absolutely.
On the bench, she was playing the role of an assistant coach. And she was real critical of players. I mean, she told them, hey, you know, you need to shoot more from the sidelines. And I think that's been really big for this team to have Rachel still be a part of this NCAA tournament run.
You know, it's too bad because you wrote about the Gophers in the tournament and you talked about Nia Holly. It's too bad she's only a junior and will not be with this team next year because that would be one fun team to watch. A five-star recruit from Hopkins?
I don't think there'd be enough balls to go around because they have a chance to have Carly Wagner have a huge year next season as a sophomore. And, you know, Banham will be in the backcourt as well. I think that Carly would be the one I say would probably know with Bannon there because she took Bannon's place in the starting lineup. So I think that her emergence as a freshman was probably the biggest surprise when Bannon went out. She just filled that role nicely, more of a three-point shooting threat, but she's kind of developed her game as the years come along, and I think that the addition of her and Rachel together next year, that's going to be an incredible backcourt.
No, it'll be a lot of fun. But again, they're not done playing this year, so they can still do some damage. Now, Marcus, before we depart with you, Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, who did you pick? Did you go Kentucky or did you go elsewhere?
I had to pick against Kentucky because I just think that anytime Calipari, it was bragging about 2 years ago going undefeated, I thought he jinxed himself then, and I think this year he jinxed himself again. You know, as much as Calipari, caters toward the one-and-done player, and I understand that. I mean, he's the king of one-and-done.
Yep.
I think there's just something about being a freshman and being in that atmosphere for the first time in the NCAA tournament. It's just a different, no matter how much pressure that they've faced during the regular season, I just don't think Kentucky can go all the way led by freshmen.
Yeah, but the problem is, I picked Duke to beat Kentucky, and that team is led by freshmen.
Very special freshman.
Yes, Tyus Jones, the little Okafor, terrific player. Guard. And they got Tyus Jones is certainly.
And that Okafor guy is pretty good too.
Yeah, he's not too shabby. That's a good way to look at it. But I almost regret having Kentucky going to the championship game. Then maybe I should have had Wisconsin beating them. Or I think the toughest pick to me is deciding if Wisconsin and Arizona, the team that's a toss up, and I do have to see both of them going to the conference final. The regional final.
I've got Arizona taking out Kentucky. I think that Arizona is every bit as talented. And, you know, one thing that they might not be as deep, but their starting five, I think, is the most talented in the country. And they have a player, Stanley Johnson, that I think is going to make himself into a top five pick in this NCAA tournament. You know, he's a player that reminds me a lot of, like, a James Harden type.
Yep.
Really big, athletic guard who can shoot the ball and a lot of confidence. So I just think that they have a chance. Arizona has a chance to beat Kentucky.
Well, we're going to watch on that, and also we're going to listen on Saturday. One and done, Marcus Fuller, Hardball Rob.
Hardwood.
Hardball. Sorry. Hardwood, Rob. Sorry, Rob. Marcus, have a great trip. Enjoy
right,
the game. All right, we'll see you. Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. A little D-bag of the day, and we're going to be joined. We had such a great time when she was with us before. Barbara Behrens. From Behrens & Miller Law Firm, represented the NFLPA when they kicked the NFL's ass in the Adrian Peterson case. She's going to be joining us, talk some fun talking with her, too. We'll be right back.
Later today on Radioactive Sports with the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson at 4.
Matt Dunn becomes a big as the Wild shock the Nashville Predators in the Music City again. Timberwolves play tonight, NFL free agency in your NCAA bracket. All afternoon on 105 The Ticket.
We are, by the way, thank you for sitting in on this. This is my favorite segment. Barbara Behrens from Behrens & Miller Law Firm. We had such a great time when you visited with us during the Adrian Peterson. You represented the NFLPA, and Adrian Peterson kicked the NFL's ass. So we wanted to have you back to sit in with us. There's some things I want to ask you, but now we're just going to go through some of this. And this, we have a great, actually, there's no one else that's going to even come close to our D-bag candidates. We're only going to throw out his name. Bernard Pierce, former running back for the Baltimore Ravens. He picked up by cops for a DUI. And Barbara, when he was picked up, first he said, they asked him how much he weighed, and he said 530.
Oh.
530 pounds.
Good.
I mean, it's an off-season. Guys put on weight, but usually not that much. He also corrected himself then to say 230. And as they're putting him in the cop car to get to the police station, he said, do you know what happened the last time a Ravens player got a DUI? I'm getting cut tomorrow. Not like you care. Well, you're the one that was drinking. I know you don't do your type of law does not involve DUIs, but just sitting back, you must be as astounded as I am how stupid some of these athletes and people are. If you drink, there's a very good chance you're going to get pulled over.
Well, it's continually amazing that in the face of all the laws against DUI and the concern about drunk driving, that anybody takes that risk. And clearly, when you are in a position where others are looking to you as an example, I think it becomes particularly troublesome, and it's just unfortunate that continually it seems like folks get in trouble for this when it is not a good practice.
And he was prophetic because they cut him this morning, the Ravens, because they're not tolerating, you know, drinking. There are so many things that cannot be avoided. This is easily avoidable. Much like, you know, athletes taking drugs. That's avoidable. They have the choice of not to do it. And this guy just stupidly wound up, he did something that got him in a ton of trouble for it. Now, I want to ask you not to belabor, but is there anything new in the AP? You know, I know that there's it was appealed, but is there anything that's happened over the last few weeks? Or basically, things are status quo as far as you know?
As far as I know, it's all status quo. The NFL did appeal to the Eighth Circuit, and there is a briefing scheduled in place. No announced hearing date yet. That should be down the road. Nothing has gone on besides that.
Okay, so, I mean, and we don't really anticipate anything. What we keep waiting around here is for the Vikings to make a decision, keep them or cut them or trade them. Most likely trade them or keep them. But it's, that thing will work its way out. I would guess that it would. There's another one. We also do an anti-D-bag of the day. And today's anti-D-bag of the day is Sherry's Ranch in Nevada, because they're offering a great deal for people going to the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. It's unbelievable, but for $100,000, you get a fight package. two tickets to the fight, round-trip airfare to Vegas from the continental U.S. only, car service from the airport to Sherry's, then from Sherry's to the fight, then weekend lodging at Sherry's Resort, and you have the opportunity for $100,000, and I guarantee you they will get people doing this, the opportunity to visit all 24 ladies that work on the premises of the brothel. That's a smorgasbord for a lot of the, you know, for a guy with $100K. We got kind of disposable income.
My goodness. That's a busy weekend.
That's a very busy weekend for these, you know, if you bring a pal with you. Well, I guess you have to, I guess if you do this, you have to plan on $200K. Because I think it's just for you, not for you and a friend. Some of these guys, I mean, we hear stories of people betting hundreds of thousands on the fight. Some of them may think the money's better spent at the brothel.
Well, and more than that, you get the two tickets, and
you get to see it exactly.
You got that for sure.
Or, and you might, maybe you can have one of the young ladies on your arm. You never know. Now, this is one of my favorite stories of the, actually, probably of the, not only of the day, but of the week and of the month. In Wisconsin, they took a poll, publicly policy polling. They surveyed 1,071 Wisconsin residents, and this was done earlier in the month. And they found that the only thing more popular in Wisconsin than Aaron Rodgers is cheese. 79% had a favorable opinion of Rodgers. 80% went with cheese. So he lost out by a single vote. But if anything's going to beat him out, you'd think it'd be cheese. And I'm glad. I'm a big cheese guy.
Me too. So, I can't fault them for that.
Now, what's your cheese of choice?
I'm a real blue cheese fan.
Yeah, I'm not big on that. I kind of like the stuff you can melt. The mozzarella, your mozzarellas, your Swisses, your American cheeses. And I've often talked about throwing a Havarti party. Because I love Havarti too.
Havarti's good with dill. Oh, particularly. No, not with dill.
I like it. I like, much like my pizza with just mozzarella cheese, I like my Havarti straight up. I don't like it with anything else in it.
You don't want it altered.
No, I don't like it altered. But it's I'm a huge, like I said, a huge cheese fan. But Wisconsin, by the way, responsible for roughly 25% of U.S. cheese production. They produce more than 1 million tons each year of cheese.
That's amazing.
I'm glad they're close.
Well, what about cheddar? Are you a cheddar fan? Cheddar's better.
Cheddar's not bad. You know what? I like cheddar on have you ever had Cincinnati chili?
I have had, yes.
Well, cheddar or cheese on top, because Cincinnati chili, for people who don't know, and I make it, it's made at Skyline Chili's, and what's the other one, Star, it's just plain Star, and Gold Star. Those are two of the more famous, they have franchises throughout the city of these, but basically you get spaghetti, you put that on the bottom, then you put... They usually put the chili on top, then you get beans, which I'm not crazy about, and then you put the cheddar on top. It's phenomenal.
I have 4 cans of Skyline in my office drawer as we speak.
Really?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever pop them? Do you pop them in a microwave, or you just dump them out?
Yeah. They're better with the spaghetti,
yeah,
though.
Oh,
absolutely.
But I make them, when I've made them, I've made them with, like, chicken and turkey, because I'm not a big meat eater. I gave it up many years ago. It wasn't something I was that fond of anyway, so it was easy to give up. But if you haven't had Cincinnati-style chili and you're listening, you need to try. By the way, if you have, 651-989-9105, and you're from Cincinnati or have been there, I'm just wondering, now, you've been to Cincinnati and had it?
I have been to Cincinnati.
Which is the one you liked? Is there one over the other that you like?
Well, I am a Skyline fan.
You are, okay.
Mm-hmm. I have to say.
The Skyline is one, that's how I learned about it for the first time. They do need to offer poultry, though, as an option, which... At the moment, I don't believe they do that, and I'm not real crazy about it. I wanted to mention one other thing, though, about this. Aaron Rodgers' numbers have gone down. In 2011, he had 89% of a favorable opinion in the state, and the only two personalities that topped Aaron Rodgers in 2011, and this is not just in Wisconsin. This is, you know, worldwide, globally, and in history. Can either of you, Hellboy or Barbara Behrens from Behrens & Miller, guess one or both of the names, and again, this goes, I'm giving you a hint, it's throughout history where they had a more favorable opinion than Aaron Rodgers in Wisconsin in 2011.
Vince Lombardi?
No, not even Lombardi. One was a former president.
Abe Lincoln.
Very good. And the other one, resurrected.
Jesus.
Yep. How about that? Abe Lincoln and Jesus Christ.
God, I thought Vince would do it.
How does Vince come behind Aaron Rodgers? But he did. that's an astounding thing to me that only two people topped him. But that was that Hellboy. Was that coming off the Super Bowl?
For how them? Long ago?
2011. He might had to be right around when they were coming off the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think they won it in the 2010 season. So,
that's why he was. That's why it was so high. Actually, the fact that he won the Super Bowl, I'm shocked a little bit that he wasn't ahead of Abraham Lincoln and Jesus Christ, because that is a big deal.
But the key is, what was cheese in that survey?
I would say that it should have been on top, because cheese is always number one for me. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Barbara Behrens from Behrens & Miller Law Firm. Her firm represented the NFLPA and Adrian Peterson when they kicked the NFL's ass a few weeks ago now, right? Or a month ago?
About a month ago.
But when we get back, I want to talk to you about a few things that are related to we talked the other day about this Chris Borland. I want to talk to you about that. Basically, after his rookie years, retired from the NFL, and you have had some involvement, I think, with safety issues in the NFL. I want to talk to you about that when we return.
The high-flying Timberwolves are in town. Stop by Hubert's and join superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson, broadcasting live before every Wednesday home game.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will have Timberwolves players and coaches on the air, as well as our awesome ticket girl sampling North Lake beer.
Plus, Hubert's will have adult root beer floats made with Kilbrew root beer and North Lake beer on tap.
Wolves Wednesday. Presented by North Lakes Brewing and Killebrew Root Beer. Live from Hubert's, starting at 4 before every Wednesday Wolves home game on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Barbara, I have to say this, because I give him crap sometimes, but he has gotten so much better at music. And this would be your walk-up, talk-up music for you, Barbara. Hope you don't mind it.
I love it. Are you kidding?
It's like
Beatles? Early Beatles?
The kid's getting better. He was horrible when we started. Oh, my God.
I realize I played the song before, right?
I know that, but you're still getting, you're getting into a little bit of a groove
then
here.
You told me you hated me and you slapped me.
I didn't slap you. Don't you talk like that. I'll come across this tabletop or whatever the heck. What would you call it? Whatever you call this thing. We are, Barbara, I'm sorry you had to hear this. We're joined by Barbara Behrens from Behrens & Miller Law Firm, represented the NFLPA in Adrian Peterson against the NFL. Did one hell of a job with that. And what I wanted to ask you about, Chris Borland was a great player this past year. From week 7 to 15 when he played and started, he was the leading tackler in the NFL. He announced just the other day that he's retiring from football after just one season because he doesn't want to have issues with head trauma. And, he's scared of it. And he said, you know what, I want to have a life and I don't want to worry about when I'm done playing that I'm going to have a shortened life. You certainly have been involved with with the NFL, the NFLPA, and as you mentioned, tangentially in terms of safety. Why is it taking, it's getting better, but is there a lot more that you think can be done or is being done?
Well, they always say that there is more that can be done, but I think in part it's the tradition of the game and the notion that if you're hit hard and your bell is rung, as I think so many people call it, it's like a rite of passage. And I think the danger, too, with so many head injuries is the effects of an initial injury or subsequent injuries aren't felt until years later. So I think it's easy a lot of times for players to think, it won't happen to me, and if it does, well, I'll worry about it later. And I think what is astonishing about Borland was that he did play injured. He did have head trauma and still played through it and came out of that thinking, do I really want to do this? Because he had a minor concussion last year.
Well, and he feared, because it was in training camp, that he would be cut from the team or not make the team if he didn't play with it. So he really did endanger himself by doing that.
And the studies do show that one concussion is enough, but subsequent concussions really exacerbate all the damage that is done, and so many times it isn't felt until years later, and parts of the brain are dying or dead, and it's a pretty significant issue.
We were talking about this the other day, and I know that I had and I would term it a mild one, but I had damage. I have three herniated discs in my neck, and I'm convinced it's from when a guy took a piece of luggage when I was bending down to get my computer out under the seat right on top of my head. And, you know, but I never lost consciousness, but I could tell that I was a little woozy. But so many of us, I mean, I would think he's had them. I don't know if you've had, I mean, it doesn't just have to be in sports, but think about even what happened, you know, the instance I'm giving, or if you bang your head on something, it hurts, but I don't think any of us could imagine, the superstar Mike Morris can, the velocity and the speed at which you're hitting an NFL game. When you say you get your bell rung, I mean, it's, and then people don't, that's the other thing, it's get your bell rung, concussion. It doesn't truly explain, your brain hits one side of your skull. I don't think people fully understand exactly what happens. It separates and hits, you know, it's like, really, the bell rung is because it's like that. It's banging off of one or both sides of your skull. And when you look at it in those terms, I don't know that why anyone would want to play.
Well, exactly, and I think people have gotten so much more serious about realizing the effect of these concussions, and I know in the younger players, they're trying to cut down the amount of contact during practices, because ironically, so many times this happens in practice and not in games, but it happens in games too, and it is a very, very serious health issue.
Yeah, it's frightening. And the other thing I want to talk to you also, Barbara Behrens from Behrens Miller Law Firm, and again represented the NFLPA and AP, Adrian Peterson, in their case against the NFL. Major League Soccer, or major, what is it, MLS, MSL?
MLS.
MLS. Like, isn't that like the listing service for houses?
It MLS. Is. MLS.
Yeah, same thing. They share the same initials. They want to come to Minnesota and they want an outdoor stadium. The governor went on record yesterday and said they're not getting public money. And I don't think they should, but what do you think the climate is for? This could be a whole different trend where the NFL, or excuse me, where corporations have to come up with the money, and I don't see corporations doing that.
I don't either, frankly. And I'm always amazed that there's always the initial public outroar about we're not going to put public money into new stadiums, and it's amazing how many times, despite the initial reluctance,
it winds up happening,
and it's a phenomenon that a lot of scholars and commentators have been flummoxed by, but it does continue to happen, and it wouldn't surprise me if we ultimately get an outdoor soccer stadium.
Well, we talked to Marsh Hallberg briefly about this yesterday from Hallberg Criminal Defense. He's on with us every Tuesday, and you were with him a few weeks when you joined us, and I had said, why not just put it at the University of Minnesota? Play there. That's outdoors. I mean, you also have the new Saints Stadium, which may not be big enough, but you got Target Field, too. If they want to play outdoors, there are, and poll ads, they're one of the ones that want to bring soccer here, yet they want an entirely new stadium. And again, I say, build it yourself. Well, you got the money.
Well, so many times the owners want the stadiums because it's new, fresh sources of money. And that really fuels that desire to build more.
If you get another one, then you can take the money out of that. You don't have to try to take it. If they went to the university, they're going to have to share revenue with the U.
Exactly.
And Target Field, well, it's already there. It's already the Twins would be taking it.
Exactly.
And he has other partners.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they don't want to go to the Vikings. Well, the Vikings actually were entirely, they had a group of their own. For some reason, the Major League Soccer has tied itself to the poll ads and Taylor and the group that's trying to do it there. I don't quite get it. When you could play in a brand new stadium that is set up for football and essentially soccer too. It doesn't make any sense. Barbara, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us. Barbara Behrens from Behrens and Miller Law Firm. And, it's always great seeing you and being visited. Barbara, it's great to see her because she always gives me a hug when I see her, deserved or not. So it's very nice of you to do that. And we hope we can have you visit us again. That was great.
I would love to. Thank you.
Thanks so much. And we're going to take a quick break, come back a little threesome at three questions. We'll give the answers. And 651-989-9105 is our number. We're going to be giving away WCHA Final Five tickets because we're going to be talking to Bill Robertson, who runs the WCHA. We'll give them away when he joins us in about 15 or so minutes. But right now, come back a little threesome. Join us, 651-989-9105.
Minnesota Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.
3-0, it's the magic number. Yeah.
I can't.
It's the magic number.
I love these bouncy. I mean, they've had troubles. They've done stupid stuff, but for you to call a teammate or an ex-teammate a quitter, they must must just hate this guy. They both played with him.
Yeah.
Both Pouncies, the one in Pittsburgh and then both of them, yeah, the one in Miami, they know what this guy's all about.
Yeah.
Oh, you call a guy a quitter. There's probably not a bigger thing you can call a guy in any sport.
A coward first, and Wallace said.
Yeah.
He doesn't back down from anybody big or small.
So he called him a coward and a quitter, or a
Well, essentially what they were saying when they were talking about him, they called him a coward.
Coward.
And then they went on to say, one of them said, I could never quit on my team, or
yeah.
I wouldn't want somebody like that on my team.
Well, it's essentially the same then. Coward, quitter, they're talking about the same thing, but jeez. That's what the Vikings have coming in.
They think it was taken out of context.
Taken out of context?
They said that part of the interview aired on Instagram, but he said they sat and talked for about an hour, and that was only about 10 to 15 seconds of it.
It doesn't matter. You call somebody a coward. How much more do you have to say? You say plenty. Well, he's a coward. I think you said all that needs to be said.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun year for the Vikings with Mike the Coward Wallace on the team. See how things work out for him. That's a tough reputation to be dealing with, to say the least. All right, we got a little threesome cooking here. What do you got?
Hello, Bob. I have three questions for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Number one, the NHL is thinking of making overtime 3-3. Is this a good idea?
No. Why would they do that? I mean, I actually, a lot of people aren't crazy about the shootout. Do the overtime. Do it the way they're doing it. I like the shootout.
That's one of the reasons they want to get it down to 3-on-3. It will eliminate a lot of shootouts. The games will go
a little bit quicker. Okay. Last night, how long did it take to end the game with the overtime game? Now, that's an exception. 22 seconds.
Yeah.
And it was over. I like the guys going at it again. They're young. They can handle it. 3-on-3. No, I don't like 3-on-3 at all. Unless, here's what I go for. You know the coin flip? Flip a coin. One team starts 5-on-3. Now, that would end a game quick.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things, a lot of the people that have been hockey fans for years and years and years, they hated it when the shootout was brought in. But I think it does bring in a new level of fans.
I think so,
too. It'll make it more interesting that a game doesn't end in a tie, and that's all they're trying to avoid.
Yeah, and I like the shootout. I mean, to me, that has added an element to it of fun. But, I'd never call myself a hockey purist like others do. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105, if you want to weigh in. Call in, weigh in, and if you'd like, we'll give you a WCHA Final Five tickets to Friday night's games. Because I am curious if other people are bothered by this or they don't care. I mean, I think it's fine the way it is. The 3-on-3, I don't know that people would like that much. Do you?
It would definitely be fast-paced.
Yeah.
Puck would be at one end and just like that.
But then the guys are flying on and off the ice.
Yeah.
This will be whipped.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not crazy about it.
It'll be over quick.
Let's go with what they're doing. You know what they should do? Now, I'd go for this, the 5-on-5, and they can't leave the ice for the entire overtime. That will guarantee you never get to a shootout. The same five guys stay on the ice.
So I'm not laying down to block a shot. I'm just tired.
I'm just tired. But that would make sure that didn't happen. You can't leave the ice. Yeah, let's see a guy do that that's where you put your fourth line out and you sacrifice them.
Or keep it 4-on-4 and two guys on each team.
Or limit the number.
Tie their legs together so they become one.
Do you see this happening?
GMs are actually going to recommend it to the board after they've done a trial run. I think it's been used in the AHL for this season. And I think it might happen just to avoid some shootouts, which, like you said, hockey purists don't like it.
Well, I don't think hockey purists are going to like the 3-on-3 as much either. Maybe they will. I don't really think it's I think it's fine the way it is. But if they want to shorten the games, that'll do it too. What else you got?
Number two, Andrew Wiggins says he plans on being in Minnesota for a long time. Will he still be here in 10 years?
Well, that'd be a long time. Will he be
tonight's
here in
his,
10 years?
Tonight's his return to Toronto, which is his home. And Toronto, a couple months back, was saying they wanted their team. Do they have a plan to get him in a few years?
The Wolves are going to have to come up with the dough, obviously, and make him happy. And he could find what many other players like Love found and KG found. Will they put the players around him to make them a championship caliber team? If they do, I think he'd wind up staying. If they don't, he probably will leave. So they have to basically break the mold of what they've been doing or the way they've been doing it through, every regime. Get him the guys, get guys around him who could make this a championship team. Why would he stay otherwise? I mean, no matter how much he may like it here, it's cold as heck. Toronto's not as cold here.
Canadian.
What's that?
Well, it's Toronto. The winter.
Yeah, but not like this. Not like some of the winters we get. If I were to say right now, will he be here in 10 years, I'd say no. I don't think he will be.
I kind of agree with that, even though I don't want to. But it is just tough to keep somebody on the same team for
that period of time. To sustain it.
It looks like it's going to happen for somebody like Stephen Curry. Kevin Durant's been sticking with OKC for a while.
Well, also,
they won't move.
There's a still very talented fella down in San Antonio who it's worked out for.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe stayed in one spot, but it's these guys have tasted and have won championships. I think a lot of it has to do with having the right coach and the same coach that you absolutely have faith in, and that plays a role too.
If we had Greg Popovich here, I would say there's no doubt this core would stick together.
Well, in 10 years from now, Greg Popovich will be quite elderly.
Still take him.
You still like him.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, then maybe they should work on doing that. No, I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon. All right, what else you got?
And number three, Mike Zimmer and Rip Spielman attended the pro day of Trey Waynes today. How high is Waynes on the Vikings draft board?
Come again?
Spielman.
Spielman? Who did he ask about?
Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman.
Spielman?
Doesn't know how to pronounce stuff. They're at Trey Waynes pro day today.
Oh, the cornerback.
Yep. So how high is Trey Waynes on the Vikings draft board?
Well, I think would they take him at 11? I don't think he's that high.